If you want.
Yeah, because it's Thanksgiving, isn't
Hey,
it, Vera?
everyone. Hey. Well, happy
Happy
Thanksgiving, Vera.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, thank you. And you guys don't have a Thanksgiving to celebrate?
No, we
So you,
don't.
it's just Thursday.
It's Friday, technically.
It is Friday.
Oh, yes.
It's the
But happy
second half of
Friday.
Friday now.
Yes,
So,
happy
yeah.
Friday to everyone in Australia.
So how was Thanksgiving, Vera? Give us the download on
Oh,
your
yeah.
Thanksgiving.
It was so non-existent. I mean, nobody came over. It was just my sister, my brother-in-law, my nephew, and me. We picked our turkey up at the restaurant and nobody cooked, and we ate, and you're done in an hour.
Very
Yeah.
good. Well,
Yeah.
Katie
Not
actually
eventive
ended up
year.
having like a food coma because she ate too much, she said. And she's not feeling the best, and so she's not here.
Oh,
Oh,
well,
Katie, know
that
your limits, girl. Know your limits.
I know. You got to do it like the Italians do it. Katie should know that. She's Italian. You got to eat,
Eat,
clean up,
sleep,
then
drink, eat,
eat
yeah.
again.
Eat, sleep, repeat, right? Eat, sleep, repeat.
Right.
That's
I'm taking
how we
myself
do.
in the window here. What am I doing
Now,
wrong?
Vera, I've got some good topics for you tonight, but we're going to
Oh,
wait for
good.
Ghislaine until we're at least 5 minutes in,
Because
because
we know how
Jizzy's
much you
still
love
That I'm going
there.
to drop an F-bomb and get blocked.
Yeah, a little Jizzy's still up to her old antics. So I don't even know where should we start, Stevie, tonight. Like, should we start with
Look,
something light?
let's
Well,
start
what,
with
we could
you could
something
start
light.
with the what was the one that you had posted earlier?
We'll start with something
Your
light.
favorite Christmas Thanksgiving movie, The Addams Family. We could talk about that.
We could.
I will. Yeah. Well, I want to start with something a little bit different.
Oh, the Cotter's giveaway?
Well, yeah, we can talk about that straight away. That's a feel good. The rest of the stuff is not that feel good. So let's start
Yeah. There we go.
with the Connors.
So Michael Fishman, who was the previous host on this show, believe it or not, guys. Yeah, back in the day. He has just posed, like shared the video that they did on Good Morning America of them giving away the $100,000 to help people with their mortgage. So there was five, how they did it was there was five finalists, but they actually weren't finalists. They actually all received $20,000 each. So it was pretty cool. I thought it was nice.
It was a beautiful moment. I actually caught it live on Good Morning America. I was up, I was getting ready for work. I was in and out of, the TV's on to keep me company when I'm in and out of the bathroom, getting dressed. And I sat down, I was like, I'm crying. The two people on the top are sobbing. They're like, oh, thank God, we're going to lose everything we own. This is such a blessing. And
I know,
Sarah
and
Gilbert,
it's like $20,000. Like, that's all it takes to save someone's life.
I
And that's, I
know.
mean,
And
it's
coming from a
crazy.
show like The Connors, it's great too, because we've watched since it was Roseanne, that family, not be at the top of the food chain when it comes to money for most of their existence until that last season when they became millionaires and it was
When
all a
they jumped the
dream.
shark and
Spoiler
then,
alert, spoiler alert. But it's like
That's
20
kind of
years old.
how Sarah Gilbert prefaced it. My hair looks like hell. I'm sorry. She said,
Hat.
the Connors is a working family. We've always been the story of working class America, and we have the opportunity to reach out and help some people from working class America who are struggling right now. And like I said, it was a feel-good movement. Moment. It brought tears to my eyes. I'm sitting on my bed getting ready for work. Oh, that's so
But yeah, like,
I
but at least they could do it for people, like it's such a is if only people could do more, I guess, but
You don't see
if
the
I
cast
help
of friends doing
everybody.
that, do
Yeah.
you?
If Congress could get off their butts and pass the Heroes Act, there was lots of ways to be helping the American people.
Well,
President
especially
Trump
during the
has.
COVID time, like I know they gave payments out and things like that, and like we've got
They
some
gave
safeguards
one
here.
payment out. They gave one payment
Oh, really?
out. One payment. $1,200 for every American. That was it. Billions of relief money went to big corporations, and Congress passed one payment for the average working class American.
Oh, wow. They doubled the unemployment benefit, they doubled a lot of payments here. So there were some people that were like, you know, on unemployment benefits, clearing like, you know, like $1,500 a fortnight, like clearing it. And that's pretty good for unemployment benefits.
And
like,
just to let you know, everyone, we've just reached the 5:30 mark. So
are we going straight into Jizzy?
Vera did very well. I thought she was going to go.
I want to continue this one more time because I know I have Trumpian cousins, believe it or not, whom I do love dearly, who firmly believe that there are people sitting home getting rich on unemployment because of that added $600. But unemployment is a third of your net. You know what I mean? A third of what you make after taxes. So if you normally bring home a salary of $800 and you pay $200 in taxes, you're getting $200 a week for unemployment. If you're living that close to the bone, you are in starvation mode. This is criminal. Congress has passed the HEROES Act back in April or June, and Mitch McConnell and the Senate have been sitting on it forever. They were completely convinced that Trump was going to get in and they were going to not pass any of it. And Trump said out loud, he said, "I'll pass it if I win." It's political marksmanship with American people. It's ridiculous how anyone can vote for Trump is beyond my comprehension. So, about the HEROES Act.
They didn't, so that's the point of the story, right?
Right. The point of the story is, and this is part of the shit that Joe Biden has inherited. And I'll bet you every freaking Trumpian in this country has completely forgotten that all those tax cuts for the middle class age out January 1. So starting January 1, everybody in the middle class gets a tax hike. So Mr. Trump, the champion of the people, has just raped us without buying us dinner.
Just like Thanksgiving.
The original, yeah.
Right?
You guys got your uncensored shirts. Oh, yeah, not
we do. Branding. The old do. Ones. I'm not far back.
Yeah, I'm not far back enough. Look, I really want to get into Ghislaine. I do.
Okay,
Ghislaine. How do you say its name?
We call her Ghislaine, don't we?
Ghislaine is a good name.
So yeah, someone else is not having a very good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, she's
either.
Having a bad Thanksgiving.
Come on, she's having a good Thanksgiving. I'm sure she's eaten better than half of the Americans who are trying to scrape by on unemployment.
We'll get on to that in a second. Go ahead.
Here we go,
Luke.
Vera. I wrote this to you, Vera, so you can tell it's my writing. Ghislaine is totally upset that they're doing standard 15-minute checks on her for her own safety. Ghislaine claims that having a torch shine into the cell every 15 minutes is waking her up and she's not receiving enough sleep. The accused child sex trafficker and previous girlfriend of Jeffrey Epstein is being detained in the Metropolitan Detention Center, Brooklyn, awaiting trial. Apparently, Ghislaine feels having an uninterrupted sleep is worth more than her being safe and alive, even in the light of her former boyfriend mysteriously committing suicide. Can't somebody help Ghislaine?
The Italian gesture. You know what this means, boys? What? Jesus.
The thing that amazes me is she wants to go into general population. She's in special solitary confinement at the moment. Her complaint is that she's being filmed 24 hours a day, and that she's being woken up to check if she's still breathing every 15 minutes.
Safety.
I think she's hoping to get the general population and recruit some 18-year-olds.
No, I think they might be just keeping her. I think they're keeping her under lock and key because she might have a few presidents about a certain orange, a few secrets about a certain orange-faced president we know.
Yeah, sure. You know, the allegations.
You can't kill them both. That's too fishy.
you know, Prince Edward. No, is it Edward? Albert? Whatever the hell Prince Edward. It is.
Edward. But why would she want to go into General Pop, though? For me, that just means that she wants to just commit suicide. Because she would get, should either get at least flogged. They would beat the shit out of her.
But no, we've got Wentworth here. We know what happens in general population.
Yeah, are you guys young enough, too young to remember Prisoners of Cell Block H?
That's what there's a new remake called Wentworth, which is classic Australian television, right?
To air here in the States at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, man.
I was one of eight people who watched it.
What's your hand in that steam press, Ghislaine? What's your hands?
Oh, yeah.
She'll lose it. She will lose it.
What a self-involved, privileged twat. I cannot say enough nasty words about this woman. How? Oh, poor me. I can't sleep. Boo-hoo-hoo. My beauty sleep. You know, maybe she needs to volunteer on a COVID ward. Maybe she needs to hold the hand of somebody in isolation on a vent who's going to die.
She needs to
get out of her own fucking head.
But I don't think she would actually care about them. I don't think she cares about anybody. No, I don't think she cares. I think she's that far gone. Like, she's just such a narcissist. That's why she doesn't care what happened to those girls. She doesn't care. Like, you know, I would shut my mouth if I was involved in something like that. And then, you know, I wouldn't be carrying on to saying that, oh, I can't sleep, I can't this, I can't that. Like, it's just disgraceful.
She is in prison for committing crimes. What makes this bitch think she has any right to make a single fucking demand? She's in prison on charges. Okay?
And, like, you know? The most horrible charges that you could be charged with, too.
Exactly.
Like, she didn't shoplift. Like, she did some evil shit.
She's not selling loose cigarettes on the corner. She's not selling dime bags out of a parking lot. She is human trafficking. You know? Come on. This woman gets... Why is she relevant? She should be languishing in obscurity. Put her in the general population. Let her get shivved. I don't give a rat's ass.
All right, well, we'll move on from Ghislaine into some more weak people with big problems.
We're gonna do Aunt Becky.
Yeah, look at Aunt Becky.
Oh, Aunt Becky, where's another privileged white twat?
Yes. So I've got a little bit of information about what Lori Loughlin, her husband Massimo Giannulli. There you go, I got it right. And Harvey Weinstein, they're going to be doing this Thanksgiving. So apparently they get a break from their everyday meal. This is the menu that they have. For her, the Full House star, 56, will be offered an herb roasted turkey with pan gravy or tofu stir fry with glazed chickpeas and stuffed bell peppers. Her husband will be picking from similar options such as turkey roast, baked turkey ham, soy chicken patty, green beans and dinner rolls, and good old Harvey Weinstein will be dining on a roast turkey with gravy,
that's nice.
Bread dressing, steamed carrots, cranberry sauce and margarine as a separate thing.
Is having the margarine. You know.
Yeah, so this is also
a humane prison would serve them butter.
Bill Cosby, Kodak Black, and Bobby Shmurda. So this is their break from their monotonous options of dry cereal or fruit for breakfast, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch and dinner.
Oh, beautiful.
Poor Aunt Becky.
Poor Aunt Becky.
Well, Becky, maybe your kids should have been smarter and gotten to college on their own merits rather than your fucking... checkbook.
If there is a woman in this country who is still in prison, has been in prison for 5 years because she falsified her address to get her children into a better grade school, this twat dropped $1 million to get her daughter into a top-rate college on a fake scholarship, and she's worried about having to eat tofu or with margarine. Come on. Privilege. This country has failed its democracy.
Well, that's the thing. There was an article earlier this week saying how much her children are suffering without both of their parents for blah, blah. She's checked into a resort with five of her friends.
How about all the military families?
The Miramar. She's checked into the Miramar because she's suffering so much.
Well, guess boom, what, bitch? Boom. You ain't getting into college now, so.
She's too stupid to anyway.
She lost her Twitter account, didn't she? Didn't she have
all
a
sponsorship
or an Instagram account that had billions of followers, and she was on her way to celebrity influencer shit?
Yeah, trying to be anyway. Yeah, one of those modern day celebrities, but. Yeah, she's suffering really hard.
Like us, but we're failing.
She's old enough to go to college. She's 18 years old.
So we have four viewers.
Yeah. If you're in college, you're an adult. Stand on your own 2 feet. You know, second, there are children all over this country whose parents are overseas serving in the military who are living with grandparents and relatives. You know, there are children
with parents dead from COVID.
Whose parents are dead from COVID. There are children being raised by grandparents because their families have been ravaged by the opioid addiction. My mom's going to be gone for 6 weeks. Boo hoo. White privilege is the biggest crime in this country right now. I'm so sick of these privileged douchebags who think that they are so far above the law and that their pain is so much more valid than anybody else's pain. President Trump sitting in the White House. Boo-hoo, I lost the election. It's all rigged. Nobody likes me. Get over it. Grow up. Put on the big girl pants. We all have troubles. Move out of the White House, you big baby. Jesus, I'm sick of these people.
Go back to your billion-dollar tower.
Do you know what makes me happy, though?
He can't go back to New York. He cannot go back to New York. He is not welcome in this state, let me tell you. Even the parts of New York where they still put the Confederate flag up, he is not welcome.
Oh, really? So what's happening to Trump Tower then? It's still there.
He still owns it, but if he lives there, he's going to get heckled every day coming in and out of it. You know, the people that guard the tower get heckled every day. The whole building gets heckled. People have peed on it and pooped on it and thrown shit at it since he got elected. That Trump Tower is like ground zero for hate Trump.
Oh, what's happened to Steve? He's either had a stroke or we've lost
him. Maybe I shocked him, telling him all about love and
he looks
Trump
so happy
power.
Though. Look at him.
He does. He's like, oh, here is cursing again.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going to happen now. Yeah, we just lost him. Well, Vera, let's go on to something while we wait for Stevie to come back. I thought this was a really sad thing, and I'm glad, though, that it's sort of more talked about nowadays. I think, and, you know, we had the show, you were on it with earlier this year about, you know, losing a pregnancy.
Yes.
And yeah.
I thought it was very timely that Meghan Markle did that.
Yeah.
You know, I wish we'd had that just a few weeks ago when we did that show.
Yeah.
It is the silent pain, you know. Many, many women lose children and just, you know, and there's plenty of pregnancies that terminate without. Is that me? Sorry.
No, you're right. No, you sound fine to me.
There's plenty of pregnancies that terminate without any fanfare that, you know, you just start cramping after being a little late and it's a the spontaneous abortion, You know, but your hormones start raging and you're upset and you're crying and you're going through something horrible. It is very taboo to talk about it.
Well, this is what she said, because she actually wrote it. So she said she felt a sharp pain while changing baby Archie's diaper. And then she said, I knew as I clutched my firstborn child that I was losing my second. Hours later, I lay in a hospital bed holding my husband's hand. I felt the clamminess of his palm and kissed his knuckles, wet from both our tears. Staring at the cold white walls, my eyes glazed over. I tried to imagine how we'd heal. Losing a child means carrying an almost unbearable grief, experienced by many but talked about by few. In the pain of our loss, my husband and I discovered that in a room of 100 women, 10 to 20 of them will have suffered from miscarriage. Yet despite the staggering commonality of this pain, the conversation remains taboo, riddled with unwarranted shame and perpetuating a cycle of solitary mourning. Some have bravely shared their stories. They have opened the door, knowing that when one person speaks the truth, it gives license for all of us to do the same. So, yeah, and obviously then we spoke with Lindsay Cornell earlier this year, who, you know, who really offers a lot of resources for women who have gone through that, and for men as well, and for families. I mean, I was meant to be on that show. We had a chat prior. Yeah.
I think I was talking shit about, I was going to go real hard on Melania, but they must have, like, taken me out.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue your serious topic and I'll make my joke later.
Okay.
Look, I don't know if there's much more to say. Like, you know.
Well, I think that we, you know, we had several women, Ashley and Katie bravely shared their story. You know, it was a good show and I'm glad that we did it. I think that Meghan Markle sharing her story shines a much bigger spotlight on it than we could, but I think it's conversations that need to start happening.
Definitely. And I think, you know, there should be no shame associated with that. And I guess there's so much guilt with, you know, when there's a miscarriage that people feel responsible. Like, you know, especially the woman, she will feel like, oh, what could I have done differently?
Right.
You know, and backtracing everything. Like, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes it's an inevitable outcome. That's just what was going to happen. And
I believe that somewhere along the nursing school line, I read that 1 in 4 pregnancies spontaneously terminate.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
A lot of people have them terminate without even knowing, you know?
Yeah.
Some women just think, oh, look, I had a, you know, an irregular.
It was really late and then it was really rough. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't really realize that's what's actually happened. But yeah, it's more common than people want to admit, I guess. Especially,
and there really is this stigma to your grief. It's like, oh, it happens to everybody. Get over it. You know, put on your big girl panties. To quote myself.
It's so funny, though. You got that kind of side of it. And then you got these people that are like, you know, anti-abortion and rah, 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 that are just so full on with their agenda. So, like, you'd think, well, where's their sympathy for, like, people who actually legitimately miscarriage? Like, you know, you don't.
Or where is their sympathy for the parents that have to make a decision between saving the mother's life, you know, or saving the fetus? You know, that's a decision that's not ours to make, you know. That's a decision that's between a woman and her doctor. How dare you try to legislate that? And, you know, it's an old joke. I don't remember whose joke it is, but it's if men had pregnancies, abortion would be a sacrament. You know?
I probably can't disagree. I just, you know, think, you know, and we've lost Stephen again. He's
now, this was a much more contemplative pose. Like, oh, thinking about all the pregnancies lost in the world.
He's back already.
Take care
here
for all the babies. There he is.
What's going on, Stephen?
Oh, what's happening with my internet? This has never happened.
I don't know. It's not me. It's not mine.
I was going to say, it looks like you keep having EVAs because you just like.
I think it's the Russians. The Russians are freezing up our
internet.
The
Russians are doing it to me. Well, I was just going to say that. She's just probably pissed off because she has to do this whole Christmas thing because, you know, that bitch hates everything.
Oh, Melania. She gets stuck in one bad Christmas.
Done now.
Yeah. She's not happy. You can imagine her.
I think she should enjoy it, you know. I would actually be relieved if I was her. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this big thing and then I'll get to go. You know,
she's like, oh, my last Christmas with the Donald.
She ripped up the fucking rose garden. Hundreds of years of first ladies have planted rose bushes. She put them in a pile and burned them. She doesn't give a rat's ass about our traditions or about our sacred ground. She doesn't really care about America. She doesn't care about
this presidency, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Poor drunk Melania has to put up a Christmas tree again.
It's a fucking gorgeous Christmas tree.
Do you think she'll actually leave Donald now that he will no longer be president, like the next few years?
Depends when the contract's up, I guess.
I have multiple unprovable gut suspicions about things that have gone on in this White House. One of them is that $5 million that went out of, that went missing out of the inauguration fund, that they started to blame on Melania's best friend who wrote that book that said it wasn't me. I'm betting that's her escape money. She's going to set herself up in an apartment in Paris, and she and Barron are going to live out their days somewhere else. That's my suspicion.
You reckon she's going to take Barron, do you?
Yeah, I think she likes him.
You don't think she'll just send him to private school?
Well, I think he's her ticket. I think he's her ticket. I think Donald will always support him because he doesn't want any of us to know that the child's autistic. That's another of those unprovable suspicions of mine. And the third one, I will go to my grave believing that the reason there was a shortage of PPE in this country was not because, oh, we got caught with our pants down. It's because Donald and Jared were holding on to it, trying to, there's the fucking alleged thing. Conspiracy theories. My other suspicion that I cannot prove, but I just feel in my gut, is that Donald and Jared were trying to figure out how they could make profit off of the PPE for all the frontline workers. Because now there's no law, there's no shortage of PPE. You can get all the stuff you need. We, at my clinic, we're just paying $700 for equipment that used to cost $25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, he's a businessman.
He is a businessman.
There's a worldwide shortage because everybody needs it. Yes, there is a worldwide shortage. But $700 for products that used to cost $25? Come on. That's a hell of a markup.
That's a Disney markup, that is. That is some kind of Disney bullshit. It's
a Disney re-release markup.
Yeah. Well, maybe they should release in the vault for 20
years and they re-release it and put all the new merchandise out.
I was going to say, maybe we should release our uncensored masks, you know, discarded or donate them to the hospital.
Oh, my God. It's
that's
ridiculous.
What I said. Look, everyone laughed at me when I said it, but hoodies for the homeless. You see the homeless everywhere? They might as well be advertising uncensored.
I would buy some uncensored masks. I bought some mugs. Could carry it around work with a little coffee.
I couldn't work out how to order the mug. You need to
tell me I've tried 8 times. I even went into, you know, I am a technotard. I can't figure out all this shit. But I went into the chat room to say, hey, people at that company, how can I order mugs? You know, Jeff said we could order samples and I'm ready to order my sample. Here's my money. Here's my credit card. And she said, oh, you have to log in through the YouTube account. Well,
we shouldn't be talking about any of this yet because it's not official.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. Sorry. But yeah, that's right. That's what
everyone, please, on stuff. Everyone, please disregard this. And we're going to talk about this.
God damn, that one was gorgeous.
We're going to talk about Miss Jenny from the block, Jennifer Lopez, dropping a new single called In the Morning and also dropping her clothes to promote it. Now, just a reminder for everyone, this woman is 51 years old.
She's older than 51.
Well, this is the age she's claiming to be.
She's stunning. She is stunning. I'm not taking that away from her. But I
don't know a lot of 51-year-olds that look like that.
I don't know any 51s. You look like that. Melania probably looks like that. If you've got money and you can spend your whole, you know, life getting waxed and plucked and buff and trained and, you know, having somebody cook you a anti-inflammatory vegan diet.
Yeah,
you could look like that if you had the right money.
But she's so there's people going, yay, body positivity about it. But there's also people going, why do you need to take your clothes off to promote your music? How do we feel?
Let me tell you what, guys. If I had her body, you'd have trouble getting me to put clothes on.
Right?
I agree. I'm like, you know, girl, you got it, flawed it. That's yeah, the old saying, is it? If you got it, flaunt it. Like, she looks great. Whatever. Like,
I'm all about it. Go ahead.
Veronica Mills.
You know what? I'm not even.
You go, Veronica. Work.
We would like if I look like that.
Don't look as good as J-Lo going around flaunting it. If you're comfortable enough in your skin that you don't mind showing it off, I'm okay with it. I don't care if you're flabby. I don't care if you're dimpled. I don't care if you got stretch marks. You know, if you're comfortable in your skin, have at it. I am not going to slut shame anybody.
But just seems there's a lot of hate directed towards her as well. I think it'd be quite a different story if it was Beyonce.
Who's the guy for the Chili Peppers who plays naked in every concert? What's his name? The Red Hot Chili Peppers. Naked.
Anthony Kiedis. Are you talking about Flea though?
Yes. Doesn't he play naked?
Come on, one of their most famous things was the whole cock sock thing, right?
Right. Yeah.
So look.
Running around saying, oh my God, he's naked. Why is it a big deal that J-Lo's naked? Why is it a big deal that Demi Moore posed pregnant naked? You know?
I think most people who have issues with this so are the women.
Oh, the Russians are getting to Luke.
Luke's got all slow talk.
Either that or Luke's having a seizure. Do you smell toast?
Am I here?
No, you're kind of dropping out.
You are.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on.
There you go.
Oh, okay, sorry.
You're a little bit better now. Go.
I'm back.
Go.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, do you think most of the people have a problem with J-Lo being naked? It didn't work, did it?
No.
Look, I think it's a bit funny that, everyone's like, there's people upset with J-Lo being like, not even naked. We'll go nude because she's like hiding everything.
Yeah.
But a couple of months ago, do we remember when Jason Derulo had that picture of his massive schlong and everyone was like, oh my God. Or when Chris Evans, when we saw Chris Evans' dick pic.
How did you put it? He's able to wield the Molinar.
Yeah, he is worthy. He is worthy to wield the Molinar. But yeah. Like, so J-Lo can't do that, but it's some weird reverse sexism thing.
I don't know if my connection's working now. Is it back to normal?
It's better. Seems better.
Oh, good. I was saying, like, do you think...
But your sound is good.
Oh, gosh. I need to go and plug my Ethernet cable in. do you think most of the people that have the issue, though, are other women? Because, you know, they don't seem to have issues.
You know who the world
men don't care if J-Lo's naked.
The worst misogynists I've ever met are women. You know, women will date a misogynist and buy into all their misogynist trope, you know?
Yeah.
I think.
But a lot of it's alert behavior too, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think, you know, and there is a strong evangelical religious movement in this country that has way more power than it should, that really guides people in weird directions. You know, we're forcing it down their throat because we say, let her do what she wants. You know, how dare we force it down their throat and disrespect their religion? So you don't believe women should get naked? Don't get naked. You believe women should get married and wear magical underwear like the Mormons? Go ahead. We won't make fun of your magic underwear, but you know, just let us all live in harmony. That's the problem with this world. We are too compartmentalized, you know. You have to do this. You have to say the right pronouns because we tell you to.
Exactly. And that's a very interesting segue that you've just come up. Because I want to talk a little bit about Kristen Stewart's new movie, Happiest Season.
Good for her.
So do we know much about this, guys?
Isn't she playing a lesbian?
I know that half their cast is gay, at least.
Exactly. But, so it has Jeffrey's husband, or soon to be ex-husband, Dan
Victor
Levy.
Victor Garber is openly out.
Yes. So Kristen, it also
out.
So the crux of the story is basically Kristen Stewart takes her girlfriend home for the holidays, but she's not out to her family, so she takes her home as a roommate. We all know that story. We're all familiar with that story. But the thing that's generating a little bit of, I wouldn't say controversy, but a little bit of conversation is her feelings on the whole political correctness of actors playing their own sexuality, etc., etc. So she does state that she's very, very fortunate to be a, you know, attractive, skinny white girl that gets to do pretty much whatever she wants. And she's come to her sexuality later in life, and she's very lucky to be able to portray that. But she says it's a gray area as to straight people playing gay and gay people playing straight.
Well, I, you know what? Having done my fair share of acting, you know, anytime I inhabit stage, I'm playing somebody I'm not.
Exactly. That's exactly, you know, the whole point of acting.
I have played.
You're not you. You're playing, I'm not this me. Character.
I'm playing. I've played people with mental retardation. I've played a monkey. I played a lizard. I haven't offended any monkeys, any lizards, or any people with mental illness or mental retardation. You know, it's just,
well, that's mental. It. Are they going to go down this line of saying, oh, you can only trans actresses can play trans and rah, rah.
Right.
Well, what? Are we going to only have serial killers play Ted Bundy? Are we only going to have, like...
Well, that's... See, Sia's just recently got in trouble because Sia's making her first movie, and the lead character is autistic.
Maddie Ziegler, isn't
and
it?
Is and being, Ziegler yeah, being portrayed by Maddie Ziegler. So, right. A lot of, there was a lot of hullabaloo and kickback on Instagram,
well,
and social media.
She employed people with illnesses, but for the lead, she said it was kinder to have Maddie because they, people would struggle with all that pressure. You know, it's
exactly.
A lot. Exactly.
Well, there are times in any theater production where you don't have a trans actor, you know?
Yeah,
you exactly. only have the straight actors. And if you want to do the boys in the band, you're going to have to have some
boots. Yeah.
You know, well, the gay men have been playing straight romantic leads forever. You know,
well, look back at classic Hollywood. Like,
yeah.
There's a classic lot of lavender Hollywood. Marriages there.
Musical theater is all about gays singing about
the
love.
The Boy from Oz.
But there's a production of Hedwig and the Angry Inch that was very widely publicized here, but had a massive kickback that Hugh Sheridan, the guy playing Hedwig, wasn't trans. So now the whole production has been pulled.
You know, people have lost their jobs. He was actually trolled that much. He ended up in hospital.
Yeah.
There was so much hate and vitriol directed towards him.
So do you think we're now approaching?
Is that the world we want?
Yeah. Do you think we're now approaching an era where it's too much?
Yeah, I do. And I'm not like to be PC. I like to be woke. If somebody tells me their preferred pronouns, I will use them, you know, because it's no skin off my nose. I don't care. You want to call yourself kitty cat and meow? I don't care. It's up to you. But if it bothers someone and they can't get the hang of calling you they and them, what does it hurt?
What did this
I think there's a difference between, you know, willful ignorance.
Oh, I've got you now, Jennifer. I'm with you now. I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, he was playing a straight womanizer. Come on.
Yeah. There's a difference between willful ignorance and, you know, an honest mistake.
Well, and there also is, you really do have to make allowances for the time that a person was born. Like the whole Paula Deen. Do I think anybody on this planet should be saying the N-word? No. Am I going to make allowances for a 70-year-old woman raised in the Deep South during segregation? Yeah, I am. You know?
It's like
She didn't use it recently. She said she used it in the past.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like the whole... But you know, even look, as a nurse, and you will know this too, Vera, we look after a lot of older people, a lot of vulnerable people, a lot of people that maybe not all hear anymore, whatever is going on. We hear some pretty jack shit.
Oh, yeah.
And we just have to let it fly. And, you know, I've even had patients be really quite prejudiced towards me and whatever. But you know what? I'm not going to get on a soapbox and beat my chest and carry on. It's just the world we're in. We're making it better. And I just think there's no point in becoming so offended and disenfranchised over every little thing that pisses you off.
Well, like I said, rural New York State is part of the world that you can still see it, even though it was never part of the Confederacy. There are lots of people flying Confederate flags in this part of the world.
Well, okay, I got a photo in front of one. I didn't even know what it was. And then people actually, because I posted it on like a gay dad thing or something. It was a photo of Buffy and I next to Jeff's house. So it was the neighbor's house because they were flying their flags and their Confederate flag. I just got a photo in front of it because I was on a holiday in America on 4th of July.
Yeah.
Holy heck. The post got shut down because, you know, it was propagating something.
There's white supremacists all around me. There's white supremacists in our prison system. And our prison system is most of urban prisons, our urban criminals are farmed out to rural prisons, taken away from their home settings to get them away from any influence they might have. So you've got a lot of hardened criminals in this world that go through our general hospitals, you know? So you could be taking care of gangbangers. You could be taking care of white supremacists, and I have gangbangers, and I have prejudiced old white women, and I have, you know, if I can walk into a room and give the same kind of care I would give my grandmother, you know, to a man who's wearing a swastika on his arm, then I expect you to bake a cake for a gay couple. You know, that's you can take it too far. It's a fine line. We have to be humans. Yes, I'll make allowances for somebody who can't get the hang of using the right pronouns. You know, they were all grew up in a time when they was strictly plural. How can they say they for one person? You know, I get their discomfort, their, you know, but it goes both ways. If I can take care of somebody with a swastika, you can bake a gay couple a cake.
Definitely.
Exactly.
You know?
And you know, there's been times like, look, there was, I'll recall just one instance when I was working somewhere. We had a prisoner that would come in with an ankle bracelet who was, a convicted, I think it was a child sex offender. Nobody in the clinic wanted to deal with this person. And I'm just like, well, look, I'll do it. Because at the end of the day, I'm just doing what I need to do. You know, if I'm there to screen you before you see a doctor, I'm just doing the job in and out. Yeah, I don't like that person. I don't have any, you know, good feelings about that person, but I can leave them outside of that curtain and just come in and do my job.
When I was still doing floor nursing, I had a situation. I was the charge nurse on second shift. And we had old white woman who was on the floor who insisted no caregivers of color. Now, that kind of pisses me off.
Who was actually, he was actually black, who only wanted Australian nurses and doctors. He didn't want anyone with an accent.
I didn't want any of my team to go in there and be harassed.
Yeah.
But as a person of color who is mostly white passing, I personally walked into her room every night and cared for her. And she had no idea that this little Mexican girl was taking care of her. You know, like, I'm not going to honor your request. I am going to keep my staff from getting harassed by you. But I'm going to walk in there and take care of you as a person of color. Fuck your request.
I think we can probably leave the last word on this to Kristen herself. Her conclusion to the debate was, fucking think about what you're doing and don't be an asshole.
Yeah. You know, it's like when I played a person with intellectual challenges. I think that's the proper term now. You know, I was really intent to play this person as real. This was a woman who had these challenges, but she still fell in love. She still needed to be pretty. She still felt pain. You know,
a big thing behind everything is intent. If you're going into something with good intentions, then why are people so angry? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's like the argument for Gone with the Wind. Let's use that. Yeah. We all know what's happened there. It's been pulled because of the cultural insensitivities. That was hard to say. But it's still technically a historical document.
It's a classic. You know what I mean?
You don't get to go back and people don't like. Yeah, you don't get to go back and whitewash it. I get maybe putting the preface on it, like Disney are doing. Disney Plus are doing it with their movies, going, this movie was made at a time, cultural
about beliefs, a time.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, about a time. Exactly.
It was made about a time where the prejudice of the moment, you know, were pretty flagrant. But it's also part of our learning experience. We can't pretend it doesn't exist. Exactly. You know, you can't pretend that if we pretend it doesn't exist, then it rears its head in Trumpism. You know,
you can't go, this is an extreme example. You can't say, all right, we can't show the Auschwitz footage to people anymore because it's culturally insensitive.
It's culturally insensitive to the people that died.
But it's such a relevant story.
But it's not culturally insensitive to show them Schindler's List.
Exactly.
I think hiding the past just leads way to repeating again.
To repeating it. I agree. Yeah. I do agree. I want to, as we were talking about me playing a person of intelligence, I wanted to relay an antidote. I usually always am caregiver for people with intellectual challenges. It's part of my, you know, my wheelhouse. I'm very good.
It's your wheelhouse strength.
Yeah, you know. And so one of my favorite patients came into the clinic the other day and he was getting ready to go home for Thanksgiving. And I just, as a joke, said to him, I said, how's my favorite turkey? And he looks at me and he goes, pretty good. How's my favorite stuffing?
Vera, wow.
I love him. Oh, my God.
See, Vera does have a fan base.
I do.
Oh, dear. God. That is amazing.
Well, look, actually, I didn't even speak about this. So it's not really Thanksgiving. But, you know, I went and saw this last night. Freaky.
Look at Vera.
No, Vera. No, you'll like this one. Because have you seen Hot Chick? Freaky Friday? Yeah. So it's just a play on that. It's just a play on that. But she swaps bodies with Vince Vaughn, who's a serial killer. And it's like a comedy horror. It's done in such a funny way. It's a riot. I actually had a lot of fun with this film. Like, it was, you know, it was like... It was probably done. The characters were really well developed. I think they did need this right now. You know, I gave it a 4 out of 5.
That's not bad. That's a B.
It's interesting you bring that up, Luke, because there is so much going on in the industry, in the entertainment industry at the moment. As we all know, there's been little to no movie releases this year. The last woman standing is Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, well, there've been a few
art films. You got Hillbilly
Elegy, big box office.
Chicago 7.
So with Wonder Woman, they are doing cinema release and video on demand on the same day. Oh. And
I actually think it's the same thing
because of the US state, of the state of the US at the moment.
Yeah, because we're on fire with COVID.
So
he's gone so much back to normal, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really strange. And there's such a disparity between where we are and where you guys are, but it affects industries that you don't think of. Like your cinemas over there are closing down because there's no one to go to the movies and there's no movies being released for them to go to.
Right.
It's a whole industry of people. They're holding back all of these movies to wait for an audience. But if there's nowhere to see it, where does that audience come from?
Where do they go? And where do they go?
Because as soon as something becomes available for video on demand, you know you can go find it on a torrent stream. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't have to pay the price to go and see it. You can just download it and sit back and watch it. So I think that the cinema release is a necessary evil. And by I get that the American market is huge, but they're ignoring the fact that there is this, you know, whole other international market where COVID isn't holding things back. You could be making money on movies now.
But I think that it comes back to then. America was always, the US box office was where all the money gets made.
Part of it, yeah.
Yeah, like, and so if they release it here, then it's going to be on a torrent stream anyway, isn't it? Like,
but where do you draw the line, though? Do you totally sacrifice an industry for a box office score?
Well, you know what else? It's going to tank the economy of California.
Exactly.
The economy of California is the sixth largest economy in the world, not in the country, in the world. And it's driven by Hollywood. Everybody in the Southern California works for the industry. They're all, you know, if they're not on stage, they're backstage, they're techies, they're grips. The Alzheimer's kicking in. Their sound, their costumes, their showrunners. So the economy is going to crash.
Catering.
Yeah.
It affects so many people.
How much schooling you have to do props?
Exactly. And talent.
The creativity that goes into props for movies, you know?
Except to watch stuff like Face Off and stuff where they design all of this costuming and masks and, you know, it's a complete art form in itself. But yeah, like no one really thinks of, you know, at the end of the movie when all those credits roll, like all those people had a job.
Right.
You know, that was their job.
Animal trainers, you know, stunt people, you know?
Yeah.
Anytime you see somebody jump out of a plane, there's 80 people who coordinate that stunt. Anytime you see an actor in a car driving, there's 80 people who coordinated that scene, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just,
I guess, like, moving forward, I think everything will return back to normal, but I think the blow will resonate for the next few years. Like, we'll see that. You know, and we'll probably have a lot of lower budget,
absolutely,
big budget productions because independent they're going to need to go ahead.
I would love to see the rebirth of independent films. You know,
so would I.
You know, Hollywood has been taking over the independent film industry and just kind of homogenized everything. So it needed to happen. You know, I am a cinephile and I have missed the independent films.
Yeah,
it just means you can't spend $80 million on the next Fast and the Furious movie. Like,
I don't even know.
Let it go.
We're on Fast and Furious like 30, aren't we? How many are there?
No, I think it's nine. The next one.
There's a shit ton of this movie. How many times can you remake the same fucking film?
How many times did they get Vin Diesel back? Because I remember he just wouldn't do them for ages, and then suddenly he was back.
You got to run out of money sometimes.
He doesn't have to now. He's got that Disney money.
Oh, okay. That's true.
You know, he's got that Disney money. But still, this COVID thing's fucking with Disney as well. Like Disney Plus. Yeah, Disney's losing out, and Disney Plus is their savior at the moment. Disney Plus is saving them.
I was going to say, because what's happening with Disney World over there?
Disney employees are like being laid off by the thousands. Disney park theme park employees are struggling. You know, my niece just got out of there and came back here a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And all of her friends that are still working for the mouse are struggling.
Yeah.
You know?
Are the parks operating at all or are they closed?
President Schiffer Brains won't tell anybody to wear a mask. So they're walking around saying, this is all a hoax. Trump told me it's a hoax. How can I be sick? It's a hoax.
Yeah, no.
And then Mickey's dead on a respirator.
Yeah, exactly. I will go to my grave calling this the Trump pandemic.
Oh,
he made it worse. You know?
I don't know what's going on today.
You're back again, Steve.
I don't know what's happening.
I think it's happening to me. Maybe it's StreamYard.
I tell you, it's the Russians.
I've never had a problem before in my
life.
You
never have. You have not.
I don't. It's the Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, it's because everybody's having their Thanksgiving over Zoom.
It's out. Maybe it's the great juju spirit telling us to be grateful that we even have, you know, a Zoom or whatever to broadcast our beautiful thoughts on.
Actually, speaking of Thanksgiving, so last Thursday night we did Ask Sandy. Remember Vera?
Yeah.
Well, this is one of our clips that it got sent in. It's on the cutting room floor because I just couldn't do it to Sandy.
But I figure that
we've got the maturity to listen to this and respond appropriately.
They just discriminate. They don't understand. I just want to be a pretty girl. I just want to be a beautiful girl. Do you think you could do my makeup for me? I just want to feel a big cock in me while I'm dressed as a woman.
Speaking of cultural insensitivity.
The minute they spank your ass and call you princess, you all want to be pretty. It's hard to escape it. Come on.
Look, beautiful girl. We're really sorry we didn't respond to your quest. Was it a confession or a question? I don't even know what that was.
I think we've just learned that someone has too much time on their hair.
Yeah, I figured that was us being trolled. But
it could have been a troll.
Yeah.
It could have been a troll.
I think so. Especially when it opened for someone like crying in despair.
Again, I have sympathy because
Steven's frozen.
He looks like he's got Trump angst.
It's not good, Steve. We're right at the end of the show too. What's happened?
Like I said, you can't escape the want to be pretty. I have sympathy. We all want to be pretty. Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't.
Yeah, I think probably that caller or listener or whatever we'll refer to them as probably took it to another level. But you know, But I think that was obviously to get a rise out of us. So thank you for your contribution. We actually really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel you.
I'm looking here quickly. Look, I know Jeff wanted to speak about the Saved by the Bell reboot. I haven't watched it. I don't think you have either, Vera, have you?
I have not.
No, so we'll leave that one for Jeffrey because I've only seen
about 45 minutes of the original Saved by the Bell.
Oh, I remember watching it as a kid, but like, you know.
Yeah, I'm a little older than you are.
I knew there was Zach and Kelly and everyone. Like, Jeff, you froze. We're just talking about Saved by the Bell. We're going to save it for Jeffrey.
Save it for Jeffrey. And I don't care until Leah's back.
Leah?
Leah Rimini.
Oh, yeah.
She was the bad girl.
It's Saved by the
Bell. In the beach years. Yeah, when they went to the beach years. Stacy.
Oh, I don't remember
she was Stacy.
Too much happening.
She was Stacy. I sewed up.
And I'm not swearing.
No.
That's true. You've been well behaved, Vera.
Oh my God.
We actually got through this. We did it without Jeffrey. Jeffrey's having a big Thanksgiving gig tonight. He said he's got a house full of people. He was going to jump on, but I think it just probably got too wild. So we can watch him fall over real quick before we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been a wild
holiday special.
Oh,
I'm thankful that he didn't get hurt. That's my Thanksgiving wish.
We could have asked if they ever did like a Thanksgiving like Subway there, like a sub, a special turkey one
every day.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, you can get turkey there any day of the week.
Oh my gosh! All right, well.
So should we leave? The final words to a very special prophet about Halloween? About Thanksgiving?
Yes, I'll bring it back up for you.
Okay, and to quote this beautiful individual, the gods of my tribe have spoken. They said, do not trust the pilgrims, especially Sarah Miller. And for all those reasons, I've decided to scalp you and burn your village to the ground. Happy Thanksgiving, folks.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a good night, guys. Bye.